Well, again, welcome to DBICC. Thank you for being flexible with us. We're in the middle of moving, actually, our office out of the current location. I see several of you guys who've been helping move things to the new place, and so we've been in the middle of trying to get the office relocated, and that's exciting, as you know, those of you that move, because we all do that here. But then on Thursday, we get a phone call, hey, you can't use the normal room that you have on Sundays. Oh, okay. And so then we're scrambling a little bit. But thank you so much for being willing to come and do something different. It is fun to have the mirrors everywhere. I see right there, Lauren, I can see you. This is nice, all these different angles, so you can't hide from me. No, it was funny. Somebody was telling me whenever you have, church in this room, you're closer, and it is true. I can see you. I can see you anyway. One of the tricks about, being a speaker is you think that, people that are watching think that you can't see them, But just like you can see me, I can see you, It goes both ways, so it's fun, actually. So, hey, we're glad you're here today. We're doing our series, Elite Life. In the movie Christopher Robin, there's this scene where Christopher's supposed to go to the farm with the family, go out of town and have a little holiday. But instead, his boss says, hey, I need you to do some things. And so he says, I'm not going with the family. I'm going to go to work. And so he's trying to explain this to his wife, Evelyn. Chris and Evelyn, by the way, interesting, right? So he's trying to explain to his wife, I need to go and I need to be a part of this work thing. And she's like, no, you shouldn't. He's like, no, I shouldn't. He says this. He says, if I work really hard now, in the future, our life will be, and she interrupts him. She says, Chris, your life is now. She says, this is your life. You're living your life right now. And so if you keep thinking about the future and putting things off, you're going to miss your life. And he still stayed and worked. Bad guy, right? But we want to review quickly. So we're looking at this verse that Jesus said in John 10, and he says, look, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And so we're just going to do something crazy, and we're going to believe Jesus, that what he's saying is true, that he actually does want us to have amazing, abundant life. And we're going to say, okay, let's be serious about trying to pull this in and actually doing it, not just saving that for fun, just spiritual conversations, but no, let's grab a hold of it and let's actually live it. We have this continuum we've been walking through, and over on this far side, it says Christ-centered. And so that's what we're looking at, and we're trying to walk towards and say, look, if Christ is the center, what will that look like? And so here's a diagram we've been walking through. When Christ is the center, what happens? Well, he begins to affect everything else. And so we have relationships that change, responsibilities we see differently, our recreation, the things we do even for fun, so to speak. He begins to infiltrate all these different areas. And so whenever he's guiding, whenever he's ruling, when his kingdom is reigning over all of us, the mission on the outside is accomplished. And we talked about that last week, how we are eternal beings. And other people are eternal beings, and so we want to influence that for good. We want to see great things happen. We want to see life happen, not just in our eternity, but in those around us. And so we have to be serious. We have to be locked into making the most of this life that he's given us. And so so we have these general areas, and we filled in some blanks a little bit. And so you know what? In each of these zones, there are a couple of areas. And so in the responsibility zone, there's the finances and the field, those two things. And we'll cover those in weeks ahead. In recreation, there's fitness and there's fun. And so we'll cover those soon. But then in relationships, where we're starting today, there are two areas, family and friends. And so today we're going to zoom in on this first one here. We're going to talk about family. And so what I'm calling this is family life. Family life. So we have elite life, right? And so in the family realm, how can we have life there? And what is life? Well, we said life equals the presence of God, right? So eternal life is in heaven with God. And eternal death is forever separated from God in hell. And so the difference between those two is the presence of God. And so once we can understand that life equals the presence of God, then we begin to work with this. I'll say, okay, so the presence of God in my family, what will that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what we're going to talk about today. What does it look like for the presence of God to come in to our families? Family life. And so the overarching verse for us to think about today is Joshua 24:15, where Joshua, as they're going into the promised land, and as they're beginning to think about, okay, what's going to happen? They see these other nations that are worshiping different gods, and Joshua stands up and boldly says, "You choose who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And he just makes this statement. He makes this decision and says, this is the direction I'm going with my life. You know, growing up, we had these things called telephones, and they're nothing like what you have today, right? They were actually on the wall. It was crazy. They were mounted on the wall, and they had this thing going down and then back up to this handpiece called a cord, right? They were connected with a cable. And so if you had a long cord, you could like walk a long way from the phone. But this was it. You remember this, right? The cord days? And if you dropped it, and then it would get all tangled up. All right, so, but we had this phone on the wall, and so our kitchen, our dining room table was close to the phone, and anytime the phone would ring and my dad was close, he would answer it like this: "Cullen's residence, Jesus loves you." He doesn't even know who it is, but he doesn't care. "Cullen's residence, Jesus loves you," you know? And I heard that every time. I didn't even think it was weird until I got a little bit older. I was like, what are those guys thinking on the other end? But my dad was saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you call us, you're going to find out. I mean, it was just all over the place in our family. And so I grew up under this idea. And so how can we bring the life of God, the presence of God into our families? Maybe you've been to a theme park before. And so when I think about family, this is an image that comes to mind for me. You've been to the theme park before, and they have those games you can play, throwing darts or tossing little rings or whatever, right? And if you do a really good job, you know, translated, if you spend enough money, right, you can win a huge prize, like this couple did. And so I remember so many times growing up in Houston, this place called Astro World. We would go to Astro World and for a field trip, and there'd be a couple, you know, a guy and a girl, their boyfriend and girlfriend. And so the guy's going to impress his girlfriend and win her this prize, all right? So he would go down there first thing in the morning. First mistake, right? He would go first thing in the morning, and he would throw, and he would win this huge teddy bear. And look how happy she is, right? And look who's carrying it right now. How long do you think she's going to carry that thing? In about 3 minutes, she's done with it. And who gets to carry it the rest of the day? Lucky guy, right? He's carrying this thing. And I remember times when a guy in the morning, you see these big smiles on their faces, and he's got this big bear, and he won it for her, and she's feeling great. But the bear gets heavy. And you want to ride this ride, and you want to do this activity, and this bear is right in the middle of everything you're doing. And sometimes it was so much strain on that relationship, they would break up because of the strain, right? By the way, if you're single and thinking about it, try it and see how you handle, right? See if you handle this. That's what kids are like, times 100, right? But this idea of the strain, and what are you going to do? But when you win this, you got it, and it has you. It goes both ways. And so how do we respond to this family? Because sometimes we think of family as this prize, and it's wonderful, and sometimes we don't. And so just to illustrate this, I've got me a little animal here that I can hang out with today. You see, sometimes when we think about our family, we're excited, right? And we want to snuggle. And sometimes we think about our family and we want to do this, right? Or toss them away. But we can't do that because it's family and you're together, whether you like it or not. So just like this guy having to carry the thing around all day, I'm going to carry this around just to remind us, your family, you can't get away from. Congratulations, you won. That's your family. And so this is Rila Kuma, and maybe you know this guy. I hadn't even heard of him until I bought him. My kids told me who he is, so I think he's a good guy. So we'll hang out a little bit. Okay, so when we talk about family, here's what we understand. Family is complex, is it not? When you think about all the different relationships, all the different connections, you know, and the ants, and then you start to get into the steps and the haves, and the whoa, right? And it's really strange, and not just as complex, but difficult sometimes. I mean, really complicated stuff can happen. Some deep, dark secrets that, oh, and it affects you, You can't get away from it. And so family is really a complex thing. And we think about all the different areas, but today we're going to focus in on five main areas of family that we're going to be thinking about this morning. Your relationship, your family relationship with your parents, which is the first one you have, right? You're born, and they're those people. You didn't do anything to earn them. You didn't win them. They're just there. And you're related to them the rest of your life, right? Until they pass away or you do. There they are. There's your parents. And then you have these siblings, maybe. If you have a brother or sister, what'd you do to get that? Nothing. Here they are. And they're in your life, like it or not. Hi, good to see you. We're going to live together every day, your siblings. And then there comes this time when you see somebody else and you're like, wow, I want to hang out with you all the time. And so you get married, right? You're like, yes, we're perfect together. And then a couple days go by and you're like, wow, you're not what I thought you were. So we have this spouse that we did that one, right? We invited that person in. We have our children, and we played a part in that one, but we don't know what they're gonna be like, and so they're in our lives too, and now we have to take care of them. And then there's the fun one, grandchildren, okay? I don't know this one yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Not too fast, guys, not too fast, all right? At the right time, at the right place. And so I just wanna give a quick disclaimer. I mean, when you talk about family, in a multicultural room, okay? So I just want to be, disclaimer at the very beginning, I grew up in America, right? And so I've seen some different things, but I don't know your context necessarily, and I may say some things that don't match what you know, okay? I'm going to try to be as careful and try to stick to the Bible as much as possible, but in general, I just know there are differences, okay? I know that. Here's the second disclaimer I want to go into. For some of us in this room, there's a lot of pain in this area, okay? And so can we be gracious, all right? You be gentle with me, I'll try to be gentle with you. And no, I'm not picking on you, I'm not calling you out, because, oh yeah, I told you this. No, we need to talk truthfully because we want God, we want life in this area. And so if we want life in this area, we have to talk through some things and invite God in, his presence. Let's invite his presence in, okay? Are you ready? Okay, now you're scared. All right, it's going to be okay, all right? Because here's the common ingredient. Whenever you're talking about family, the common ingredient in all these relationships is love. We got to love these people. We have to. And so whenever we think about love, okay, we can do this. We can love these people. So what we're going to do, I talked about these five different family relationships that we're in, and we're going to count down from number five, the one that may take the least amount of work and energy and effort, down to number one, the one that will take the most, okay? So we'll start with number five, and number five is your relationship with your grandchildren, okay? Anybody here a grandparent? Raise your hand. Yes, hallelujah, right? I've been told, yes, Joel is a grandparent. That's cool. I mean, he's with me. So I've been told that grandchildren are the dessert of life. I've been told that, so we'll see one day. But so what I'm gonna do for each of these family relationships, I'm gonna make a comparison to a kind of dance, okay? What kind of dance would it be if we're thinking about how we relate to our grandchildren? And so the dance that I would say for the grandkids is a conga line, right? You're just having fun. I don't know where we're going. I don't know, you're with me. Let's have a good time, and then you go back to your parents later, right? You're just having fun. It's great fun to be a grandparent. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, right? It's like, man, you made it. You got grandkids. Congratulations. It's all easy from here. No, not really. But no, seriously, when it comes to grandchildren, it's just much easier because they're not going to keep you awake every night, right? You don't have to provide for them. The parents' job is to do that, right? So you get to pour into these people in a massive way. In fact, what does love look like to your grandchildren? Well, it looks like legacy. And I can talk about my grandparents, and maybe you know yours as well, and there's something that's passed down. When you look at your grandparents, you see things, and you're listening, and you're learning because you admire them. There's this spot that a grandparent has in our hearts, and we're open and receptive. And so whenever you relate to your grandchildren, remember, you're leaving a legacy, right? They're watching you, and you get to pour into them some really powerful things. So the first one, it's important. And thankfully, that's an easy one to walk into. The next one down, if we're talking about the countdown here, is the relationship we have with our siblings. And some of you are way past this, and some of you are in the smack middle of it, and you're thinking, wow, this is brutal. But what kind of dance would it be when we think about our siblings? It's like a break dance. And here's why. Because whenever you have a break dance, usually you have somebody who's kind of out trying something strange in front of everybody, right? They're trying to do something. They're going to go out on a limb. They're going to try something new. And you know what they need? They need some people to say, good job. Nice try. Even if they flop. Even if it doesn't go well. You see, sometimes in our sibling relationships, we end up tearing each other down instead of building each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore encourage one another and build each other up just as you are doing. So in our sibling relationships, we need to be picking these people up because they're learning, they're trying, they're experimenting, they're going out on a limb and trying something they haven't before, and they need people in the circle to say, hey, good job, try again, nice try, I'm with you. And not tear them down, not belittle them, not make fun of them, not hurt them, but rather build them up. So in our sibling relationships, what does love look like? Well, it looks like support. Just be supportive. Encourage these people. God put them in your life, and you're in their life. So how can you lift these people up on this journey that they are on as well, and do what you can to help them? So far, so good, right? Not too bad. All right, here we go. Number three. Number three is your relationship with your parents. Oh, your relationship with your parents. And some of you, you're living with your parents right now. How many of you live in the house with your parents right now? Raise your hand. Okay, very nice. Okay, the rest of you, you still have parents maybe, right? And so you have this relationship with your parents, and what kind of dance is this? Ballet. What? Well, let me tell you what I know about ballet. I've never been in any ballets. I've been to see some, and I'm thinking, wow, that's okay. In a ballet, who's in charge? The dancer or the story? The story, right? In a ballet, everybody has to have their arm at the right angle. It has to be in the exact right spot. And you're watching the other person. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do in that moment. I have something I'm supposed to do, and I have to obey the story because it's not about me. And so if you're living with your parents, I'm sorry. This is the dance you're in. It's not about you. You got to follow the dance. You got to be where you're supposed to be and put your arm where you're supposed to put your arm and do all those things because the story is bigger than you. Your parents love you. They want the best for you, but it's not about you. So here's the verse for these guys, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We know this one. This is the first one we memorized, right? Our parents are really good about helping us learn this verse early. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Let's read it all together. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Children, obey your parents. Obey them. And so this one here, he's actually going back. And in verse 2, you see the little quote marks, right? What's he quoting? Commandment number 5 of the 10 commandments. Which says, honor your father and mother. One of the Ten Commandments is this relationship and how we're supposed to honor our parents, how we're supposed to obey them. So what does love look like with our parents? Honor. We honor them. We're not always mad at them. We're not trying to tear them down or speak bad or get away, No, we want to honor them. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that it may go well with you. There's this promise, this principle that's true. If you do what your parents say, it's good for you. And so what's the opposite of that? If you don't do what your parents say, it's bad for you. Anybody say amen, this is true? Raise your hand. Yes. The Bible is not lying to us. It's true. When we follow our parents' lead, it's good for us. And so there's this deal all through Scripture and all through our lives, actually, there's this word called authority. And in the spiritual realm, it's massive. It's massive. You see, whenever we're under authority, whenever we're following the authority that God has placed over us, we're safe. We're safe. But as soon as we get out from under the authority, we're open to attacks from the enemy. And he wants to tear you up. And so children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Follow their lead. It will be good for you. Now, after you're out of the house, you can still honor your parents. Maybe it looks like a phone call. Maybe it's a Skype call or a FaceTime or a WhatsApp, whatever. You can still honor them and encourage them and continue to love them. And I believe they're loving you as well. It's fun to see. Man, it's like over and over. Every week, someone else has brought their parents to Discovery Bay. And it's so good to see positive relationships with parents. And so congratulations, those of you that are doing that well. Keep it up. Don't quit. So we honor our parents. The way we love our parents is we honor them. That's what God has said. If we want to have life in this relationship, it looks like honor. Okay, the next one, your relationship with your children. We're getting harder, aren't we? I told you we were getting harder. Now you know the last one too, right? Children, your relationship with your children. What kind of dance is this like? What is this? Anybody know? K-pop. How many of you don't know what K-pop is? Raise your hand. I was with you like 2 weeks ago, and then someone told me about K-pop. I was like, oh, okay, I've seen this before. It was called something different back in the day, right? But it's the same thing. And everybody gets up there, and they have to dress a certain way, and it's like high energy, right? And it takes a ton of time to practice, and you have to be together, and wow, that's what raising kids is like. It's high energy. You have to always be giving all this time to try to make it all work and keep it all together and keep it looking halfway decent. It's a lot of work to do K-pop. It's a lot of work to love your kids. It's very difficult. Never a dull moment in K-pop. Never a dull moment in parenting, right? And so how do you have love in this relationship? What does love look like? Anybody want to say? T-I-M-E. In this relationship, love looks like time. Now here's the hard part. The same season of life that God gives us children is the season when we're trying to build a career. We're trying to get established, right? And then these kids are here. It's like, oh. I have a friend, and he got married, was in the military, so he was traveling and, man, doing all kinds of crazy stuff with that, fighting in wars, because we're American, we do that. So then he comes back home and he gets a different job, and so he's going for it, he's trying to climb the ladder, and he's in a job that he's not really good at, but he's really determined to be the best he can be, and so he's climbing the ladder. In fact, I got to work in that same company with him for a while, and I watched him, and I knew he was out of his element, but he was working so hard, and so he would stay up at night, and he was just working to make it really good. And then he got another job. And it was a promotion, and he had lots of influence, but that one took even more time. And then he lost that job and worked for himself. And anybody here work for yourselves? Wow, right, all the time. He's trying to keep, the phone rings, got to answer it, right? And he's thinking, okay, how do I get the next deal? And so he just said, you know what, this is crazy. Like, what am I doing? And he looked at his three children, and he realized, I'm not going to know these people if I continue with this pace. So here's what he did. He went back to this company he'd worked for before. He said, look, I want to work with you, but this is the job that I want. He's actually a really good salesman type. He could sell you the shoes that you're already wearing, okay? And so that's easy for him. And he was doing other kind of jobs before that, but he went to this company and said, look, I want a sales job, and I want it at this level. They said, oh, no, you can do this. He said, I don't want this. I want this. He said, because for the next 10 or 15 years, I want to be a dad. I want to go to the soccer games. I want to go to the recitals. I want to be there to pick them up. I want to go on the field trips. I want to be a dad for the next 10 or 15 years. And so he did. He went and he got this different job. And he told me, he said, you know, this job is the kind of job that on a hard day is a medium lift, right? Because he can just sell stuff without even thinking about it. And so he did this job for a couple years and he was really doing well. And they came to him and they said, hey, look, you're good. And we need you to take this whole region. We want you to go to here. He said, guys, we've talked about this. I don't want to go here. I want to stay here. And he wouldn't take the promotion. They keep asking him. He's like, no, I'm happy. This is my job. I'm making money, and I'm being a dad. That's what I'm doing right now. And so he's like, okay, I get this idea of time. And he had to work really hard and got beat up a bunch in the process, but now he's in that zone. And for me, I was trying to distract him. I was like, no, look, man, you need to be president of the United States, okay? And I think he will be, actually. In the next 20 years, I'm telling you, a guy named Brian Carter will be the president of the United States. And I'm telling him, look, our country needs you now, badly. He's like, no, I don't care. I'm a dad. I'm a dad. And I'll do some other things later on in my life. But for now, this is the job that I'm in. You see, being a parent is serious business. Amen? It's serious business. It's hard. It's work. It's sacrifice. There's an old saying like goes like this. Raise your children. Enjoy your grandchildren. Enjoy your children. Raise your grandchildren. And the idea here is to really get serious and work at this. And the scripture out of Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Who likes discipline? I don't like receiving it. I don't like giving it either. It's work. But the idea is discipline helps shape this life. And when you do that, they give you rest and joy. And it's like, wow, this is good. You know what it's called? It's called life. When we do it God's way, it's called life, family life. Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, mothers, you do whatever you want, right? But fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, we're not going to be so disciplined we beat them down, they can't stand to wake up in the morning. But in a gentle, in a loving way, we still discipline them and we teach them about God. And so we're pouring into them all the time, instruction of the Lord. We have to talk about Deuteronomy chapter 6. Incredible, incredible. This is actually called the Shema. And so if you're a Jew or even thinking about being a Jew, you know this. Hear, O Israel, is what they call it. It's the Shema. It's the foundation. Any prayer basically starts with this. They say this multiple times a day. It goes like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Sounds familiar, maybe? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay? And that's the beginning of it. Look at what's next. This is how important this is, this parenting thing. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. That's where it starts, in your heart. He has to be on your throne, right? Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Teach them diligently to your children these truths of who God is. Always pouring in. So what? When is it? He gave us four times. When you lie down, when you rise, when you're going, when you're all the time. All the time. Be talking to your kids. So we're looking, as parents, we're looking for any opportunity to pull in this idea of who God is and how he's related to us. Even when we answer the phone. Collins Residence, Jesus loves you, right? We're looking all the time. How can we pull it in? Because we know this is what they need most. And so where does this start? Well, it says these have to be on your heart. If it's not on your heart, your kids will know. Your kids are watching you. You realize this, right? You know your kids are watching you. And if it's not in your heart, they'll know. If it's just you talking about it and not actually living it, they'll know. They're watching us all the time. These conversations we think they're not hearing, they're hearing. That's frightening for me, right? Like, oh, wow. But I watch myself a little better. No, the kids are watching us. They're watching how we live. And so this idea of who God is caught more than it's taught. Because they're around you a lot. And they can see if it's on your heart. And when it's on your heart, it will come out in every part of your life. And so every waking moment, we're seeking a way to intentionally bring God into the conversation. And when we do that, it's called life. We get to experience life. And then the final area. The toughest relationship that we'll have to invest in is this one with our spouse, right? What kind of dance do we think about when we think about our spouse? A slow dance, right? Look at that. Look at those guys. Look at their eyes. Closed. Oh. They're not sleepy. That's a good. See, they're too old for that. No. Maybe they are sleepy, but look at that. Look how close they're standing. Look, they're all close like, isn't that nice? I wonder if you were going to have a dance with your spouse right now, would you get that close? Well, there need to be a little bit of space there, right? It's good to see you, but not that close, buddy, right? This person's in your business for the majority of your life, right? This person's in your life. And so what's the word, what's the love look like when we think about our marriage relationships? It looks like this: forgiveness. Forgiveness. Ooh. But I don't want to forgive them. No, we have to learn how to forgive. And not just forgive, but forgive fast. Just a quick story for me. Several years ago, Laura and I were going through some stuff, and I was like, and so we, ministers, we're normal, right? So it happens. So I emailed this mentor of mine. I said, hey, what advice do you have for me? And I did not like what he wrote back at all. He said, Laura's incredible. What's your problem? I'm like, wait a second. So I sat down, I had the email pulled up, right? And I'm beginning to type. It's like, no. I can tell you the problems. I have a list. And as soon as I hit the type of the word list, the Holy Spirit said to me, love keeps no record of wrong. From 1 Corinthians 13. And I thought, it is me. This really stinks. And so I began to change. And you know what happened? Lo and behold, the marriage changed. And so Laura and I had a moment several years ago. You could ask her. I don't know. Don't, please don't, because then she's not here. But normally I was supposed to ask her. I just added this story after I knew she'd be gone. No, I'm kidding. You can't ask Laura. But we had a moment several years ago where we said, okay, you know what? Let's just start over. Can we just start over? And everything in the past, done. Just forgive all that. Just forgive me for all the stupid stuff that I've done, and I'll forgive you for the two things. And we're just, boom, reset. And let's just go forward. Man, it was so liberating. We just started over. And now it's perfect. No, it's not perfect, right? Because today I have to forgive her again. And she has to forgive me today. And so we learn, don't get a big bank. It's harder to let go of a whole big bank. Just forgive for today. Just quick, forgive. Just forgive. And then you won't have the big ones that stack up. And then you won't have the separation that leads to bigger problems, right? Forgive. We have to learn how to forgive quickly. And so why is this such a big deal, this marriage relationship? Why is it number one on my list today? And here's what I would say why. It's because it's a picture of Christ. Marriage is the one relationship that God says, no, this is me. This is how it works with me. Ephesians 5, 31 and 32 says this: therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this mystery, listen to what he says, this mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. He's saying the marriage relationship mirrors or reflects the relationship with God and the church, Jesus and the church. That's huge. That's massive. To say that what's happening in this marriage, see, I think it's about me, right? And my rights and what I need and what I'm not getting or what I think I, no, it's not. It's about God. Your kids are watching this. The other people around are watching this. And so can we understand we're playing out something bigger here? And we want to enjoy life, but we want to spread life through our marriage relationship. You see, whenever we forgive people, we're acting like God, because he forgave us. Romans 5:8. What does it say? God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, in your marriage, you're thinking, oh, that person doesn't deserve it. You're right, they don't. Just like you didn't deserve forgiveness from God. And what did he do? He forgave you. He sent Jesus to die for you when you didn't deserve it. And so that's what we get to do with our spouse. They don't deserve it, but we do it anyway. Whew. You're thinking about your list right now, aren't you? Can I let go of that one? You can. You can. You can. And this is why Scripture says God hates divorce. It's why Jesus said, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And it's also why Satan is attacking marriages like crazy, because it's a picture of the love of God, and he wants to destroy that as much as possible. Just read about Bezos and the divorce he's gotten, right? Now that was a stupid move, $35 billion stupid, right? But Satan wants to destroy marriages, because it's a picture of the love of God. And so how can we say, you know what? I'm in. I'm going to do my part. So men, here we go. It's your turn. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How did it end up for Jesus? Well, he was dead. So guys, how's it gonna end up for you? Am I willing to lay down my life, all my rights, all the things that I deserve, all the things that I think I need, am I willing to lay that all down to protect this woman? That's what he's saying. Love your wives. And here's the thing, man, this isn't in the notes. Here's the thing. The way they want to be loved is not the way you want to love her. Right? Like, look, I know how to love you. Let's do this. No, no, no. I want you to do this. And I won't go into detail, but I think you know what I'm saying. The way they want to be loved is probably not your love language, number one. Okay? And so when we love our wives in a way that they need to be loved, it's going to be a sacrifice. It will be. And so here's the reality. It's the last thing you feel like doing. The last thing you feel like doing, but that's what you have to do. Jesus didn't feel like dying on the cross. And so we love our wives, even though it's difficult. And so here's what I encourage you. Men, understand your sons are watching you, and they will love their wives the way you love their mom. Okay? Give them a good example. Give them a good example. Ladies, your turn. You don't get off for free, right? Again, in the same chapter, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Don't you hate that word? Ah. Again, we're talking about authority, and we won't go into it all today. This is a whole series, by the way, so we're not going to cover it all in one moment. But again, it's about authority, and whenever we do what God has said, it's amazing. So it's the last thing you'll want to do. Man, he's crazy. Why would I follow him? Because God said, right? The last thing you feel like doing sometimes will be the exact thing you need to do. Just follow. Love him enough to be willing to say, you know what? I trust you. Ooh, that word trust. I trust you. Let's try it. Let's do it. The last thing you're going to want to do. Remember, ladies, your daughter is watching you, and she'll be a wife the way you're a wife. So be a good example. Be a good example for them. And so as we talk about these things, maybe you've come to this point. Say, you know what? I don't like today. I don't have what it takes. I don't have that much love to give. I'm tired. I don't have it. I'm sorry. Thank you. Good idea. Nice speech. No. I can't do it. It's too much. I can't make it. And you know what? You're right. You don't have enough. And as soon as you grab that, you're on the step to making it. You're on the step to life, because here's good news for us. God is love. He defines love. He empowers love. He gives love. He can pour life into us. 1 John 4:8, God is love. And so as soon as you realize, I can't do it, great, run to him. Let him be the center, and he can give you the love that you need. The fruit of the Spirit. The way God works is through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift that he's given. It's the power to live this life, this abundant life. And the number one fruit on his list is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. He knew he should list that one first because it's the one we have the hardest time doing on our own. Love is so difficult, but the power of God working through us can make it happen. So whenever we look at this relationship of families and we realize how difficult it can be, we realize we have to have Christ at the center. Otherwise, we'll never make it. We'll never be able to give that much love to that many different people in that much of a sacrificial way. No way. But God in us can help us, will help us, if we will run to him and allow him to. Do you want life in this area? We all do. We want to have good family relationships. And so what I encourage you today, hey, the elite life, family life is possible, but it has to flow from God. It has to flow through him. Now, I'm tired of carrying around this teddy bear. Does anybody here want this thing, by the way? Any kids? Anybody, any kids want it? Sam, take it, buddy. Thank you very much. Appreciate you taking that off my hands. Tom, I'm so sorry, Tom. I'm not really. That's pretty funny. Okay. Can we pray just that God would help us in our family relationships? Father, I thank you for life. I thank you for the gift of family. I thank you for these relationships that you've put us in and these incredible people, really, if we step back and look at them, these incredible people that we're around all the time. They're so much like us. It could be fun. But Father, I just pray where there's a wound that you'd bring healing, where there's fear that you'd bring peace and courage. I pray that where there's bitterness, where there's unforgiveness, that you'd bring in forgiveness. Lord, where we are the ones who need the forgiveness, may we seek that. May we be transformed as you rule our lives and so that we can be the players that we need to be in these relationships. Lord, all these people around us, they need us. We have an important role in their lives. And so may you fill us. May you fill us and overflow to these people around us. Father, I thank you for the life change that will happen all around us whenever you give life in this area. So I just pray for freedom today. I pray for healing and for peace. More than anything, I pray for Jesus to reign in our lives in every area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together? We're going to continue to worship a little bit as we finish.